Great. Well, welcome everyone. Nice to see you all. Back in time, we planned this to be our first communion service, but I've been persuaded that that might be slightly unsafe. So we're looking at how to do communion, but great opportunity to look at why. What do we do when we do communion? And I've got four little thoughts. And the first one is this. The first thing is this working? Excellent. Look back. So what sorts of things do we remember? This is slightly easier now than it was a moment ago. What might this help us to remember? Someone that's not in my immediate family. Can you see back there? Yes. Birthdays. Brilliant. This might help you to remember birthdays. What might those help you to remember? Maybe that's slightly harder. Yes, Johnny. Bonfire nights. Yes, and Guy Fawkes and all of that. But if I said this might help you remember something, that might be slightly odder, but you might start to think if it goes with that. So there's some bread and some wine. What are we remembering? Yes, Catherine. Well, we use this as communion, but what are we remembering using our bread and our wine when we have communion? Yes, Sammy. Sorry? Yes, it is the Last Supper, but what are we particularly remembering when we have this Last Supper, or the Lord's Supper, or communion, or something like that? Starts running out of willing children. I'm going to start doing laps. Johnny? Easter? Yes. We are remembering what Jesus did. He died on the cross. So the bread is his body broken. Good morning. That's all right. The wine is his blood poured out. We're remembering a death. Well, that's a very strange thing to remember. It's good to remember birthdays, and we can have parties and all sorts of things like that. It's good to remember, well, Guy Fawkes is a slightly odd one, but it's always fun to have fireworks. But to remember a death using bread and wine, well, that's a bit odd. So we're going to have our first reading, Zarina, and we're going to think about that Last Supper that Jesus had with his disciples and what Jesus was talking about.
Okay. Well, our first reading is from Luke chapter 22, verses 14 to 20, and it can be found on page 1058 in your pew Bibles. Ready? When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at a table, and he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer, for I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God.
After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, Take this and divide it among you, for I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took the bread, gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, This is my body given to you for you. Do this in remembrance of me.
In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you. So we're right in a way. Something to do with that Last Supper was a Passover meal. Now, adults probably, what was the Passover meal remembering? Jews still have it today. They have it every year. Yes, Chris. Yes, I'm getting some of that through the mask. So it's the Angel of the Lord, there were Jews. They were trapped in Egypt, and God sent a judgment to rescue his people. It was a story of sacrificial death and rescue of a people. A lamb was offered at that time. A lamb was offered instead of the oldest son of the family. And it resulted in a people rescued out of slavery. And in that first Lord's Supper that we just have beautifully read there, Jesus, he takes this story of Passover and he puts himself, plonks himself right in the middle of that story that they're already remembering. He says, look, this is a story of a sacrificial death and a rescue of a people. He wants us to remember his sacrificial death, his offering of himself, a death in the place of those who believe in him. And he faced the hell of separation from Father God. Do you remember him crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He willingly offered himself a sacrificial death, the body broken, that's what we remember with the bread, and the blood poured out for the rescue of his people. And he says, again and again, he says, do this in remembrance of me. So the Lord's Supper, the first look we do, we're going to have four looks. The first one is a look back, and we remember what Jesus did.
Today's reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting at verse 17, and can be found on page 1152 of the Pew Bibles. That's page 1152, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting at verse 17. In the following directives, I have no praise for you, for your meetings do more harm than good. In the first place, I hear that when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you, and to some extent, I believe it. No doubt, there have to be differences among you to show which of you have God's approval. So then, when you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper you eat. For when you are eating, some of you go ahead with your own private suppers. As a result, one person remains hungry and another gets drunk. Don't you have homes to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God by humiliating those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you? Certainly not in this manner. Matter. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Barbara, watching us live, I hope. So our first look at communion is to look back, remember what Jesus did. Our second look is to look inside. To look inside. That last verse of that reading, 1 Corinthians, everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. See, what happens when we look inside, when we take a realistic look at ourselves, is that we will see sin. And we've used this kind of thing to remind ourselves what sin is. It's saying, shove off God. It's deliberate rebellion. It's saying, I'm in charge. It's kind of pride. And no to your commands. It's rule breaking. It's a relationship broken with our God. And this is the why of the cross. Remember what Jesus did? He died. But why? Why did he die? Well, he died to deal with sin. And I think I've used this animation before, but it sort of helps me. It's a bit like this. Sin is this chasm between us and God. And some of us are very good. Some of you are very good people. Regular Mother Teresa's and things. And so you get nearly the whole way, but you fall just short. Other people, well, they're pretty bad. And we can point the finger at them very easily, and they fall very far short. But either way, they are not perfect. They're not living up to God's standards. It's impossible for us to do that ourselves. But when Jesus came and died, he took that sin on himself on the cross. He said, I will die for sin. That's why he was cut off from God. That's why he faced hell at that point. He said, I will take that sin on me, that separation from God in your place, so that if you trust me, you can be friends with God. We all try. On a good day, we're quite good. But if we take a realistic view, if we look inside, we'll know there is a bit of selfishness, a bit of uncaring, a bit of pride can creep in when we examine ourselves. And that's why there's always a confession. We do communion, we have a confession or a prayer of preparation. It's remembering that we don't come to the table because of us, because of how good we are, but we come because of what Jesus has done when we look inside. There'll be a moment of quiet, a moment of quiet for you to think between you and your Lord. And practically, when we've had coming up the front, it's kind of as you queue or as you sit down. Sometimes we use the Ten Commandments or a summary of the commandments. Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind and strength, and love your neighbour as yourself. If you've ever wondered why we say that, it's just to think, well, that is the standard. And when if I examine myself, if I look inside, well, I fall short. Sometimes we just think about gazing on who God is and how his image is spoilt in us. As we look inside, we properly realise that we need this death for us. He wrote, for I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. When he'd given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. That's a promise. That's a deal between God and you. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. So we look inside and we gain a realistic view of how we are before God. Remember how we don't deserve, and yet Jesus loved us. Jesus loves you, and he gave his life for you. That is one of the brilliant things about communion, isn't it? We remember how we don't deserve, but we receive freely. And so the way we often do it here is you will receive from the minister. It doesn't have to be that way, but that's a picture of that we receive this thing as a free gift. Look back and remember what Jesus did. Look inside and remember why Jesus did it. Back to you, Carol. So we've looked back and we've looked inside. The third look for communion is to look around. In 1 Corinthians reading, the people were gathering for the Lord's Supper. I don't know if you remember from what was read there, if you've still got it in front of you. It seems that some were being selfish. So it wasn't kind of in a church setting, but you can imagine kind of in someone's house or something, around tables, gathered to have this thing. Probably the richer people were bringing their own and leaving the poor the scraps, or maybe the richer people were having their rich bit and the poor leaving the poor to have their poor bit. Now, in 1 Corinthians, the word body is used in a number of ways. You probably know in chapter 12, where it talks about kind of all being parts of the body. That's where we get our, if you're not the hand, you're the ear, and if you're not the ear, you're the eye. That sort of language, that's how the body is used. The body is the church, with many parts doing different roles. And there's something of that here when Paul's talking about communion. You cannot take communion by yourself. Do you know that in Church of England? You cannot officially just have communion one-to-one. It's a very particular service that happens there, because communion is for the community. You do it with the body of Christ. So you look around as part of the service at the fellow members of Christ. You can look around now if you want to. And that's why, particularly here at White Waltham, but often you have something called the peace. Do you remember the peace that happens in communion? That's the bit that says, look, you need to look around at other people. And in fact, traditionally, the peace is a time to give peace to someone you've had a falling out with. So it's your chance to go, oh, I'm really sorry. I need to say sorry, or I need to forgive you now before I come and have communion. Does that make sense? Jesus said something similar in Matthew 5. He says, therefore, if you're offering your gift at the altar, remember that your brother or sister has something against you. Leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift. And isn't that striking? I've worked in various churches. I've met Christians who their approach seems to be communion is just them and God, and they need to get that bit sorted. But actually, again and again, Jesus is saying, no, look, your relationships with each other matter. When you come to communion, you are the body of Christ, and you share in it together. So peace with each other is important. If you come and do the kind of Zoom communion, and we're going to do one later, we kind of stop and pause and wave at each other. It's sort of something nothing, but it is a chance to acknowledge, and that's why I've left it in and put that there, acknowledge that we're doing it together. This isn't just you and God, it isn't just me and you, but it's us together as the body of Christ. As we come to the Lord's Supper, we are the body of Christ, and it makes no sense to celebrate the Lord's Supper with divisions amongst us. So we've had our three looks: look back, look inside, look around. Our fourth one is look forward. Jesus, when he's talking about it, says, this will be the last time I celebrate this meal until I celebrate it in heaven. And in 1 Corinthians in verse 26, it said, for whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Until he comes. The Lord's Supper is important and expresses and reminds us of vital truths. But is the Lord's Supper the big finale, the high point, the best thing in your life ever? Is communion just your best thing? No, it's not the end point. Like, Jesus' death wasn't the end point. It's a very important way of remembering the gospel. Jesus died for you and me and offers forgiveness and acceptance by his loving Father God. But one day, we won't need the Lord's Supper. We won't need reminding because we will be fully experiencing family life with our loving Father God in heaven. We'll be in heaven, sharing in that wedding feast with God the Father and his Son. The Lord's Supper reminds us this is not all there is, this struggle with temptation, this fallen world, COVID. There is a promised renewed heaven and earth, a life without tears and without suffering, but with joy and peace in the presence of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In the Lord's Supper, we look forward and remember that we have a glorious future. So when we come to a communion service, the words we use and what we physically do, the way we do communion, can vary, and they'll be sometimes stronger on one part or another of these four looks. For instance, sometimes you might receive directly from me, and that's quite good at looking inside and receiving a free gift. Sometimes we might pass it to each other, and that's a bit stronger at kind of looking around. But it's really helpful always to keep those four looks in mind when you come to communion. I don't know if those eyeballs are helping you or slightly alarming you, but those are the looks. Look back and remember what Jesus did. Look inside and remember why Jesus did it. Look around and remember who Jesus died for. And look forward and remember we have a glorious future. As I say, we're going to do our usual sort of communion later on Zoom, for those of you who join in that. If you cannot do Zoom, I think I've mentioned this a few times to people, I'm really willing to do something midweek, a quiet service midweek here in the chapel or something, just for a few of us to do communion. It'd be hard for those who you need to miss out because you can't do Zoom on a Sunday. So do let me know. I'm very willing to do that kind of every month or every fortnight or something. But for now, let's pray that our time together has renewed and refreshed our understanding and experience of the gospel in the Lord's Supper. Father God, we do thank you. We thank you that you know what we're like, and you have given us this wonderful sort of meal, this enacting of the gospel in the Lord's Supper in communion. We thank you for the various elements and the way that we remember Jesus, our Saviour. We remember what he did for us, how we didn't deserve it, and yet you love us so much, you gave your one and only Son. We thank you that we do it together, that you have not given us this life to live on our own, but you've given us a family to belong to, your body, your church. And we thank you, Father, that we can look forward to a wonderful future where we don't need to remember these things because we'll be experiencing wonderful, perfect unity with you in joy and peace. Amen.